not Revelations, Revelation 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, for they are, and they are created. So God's design, when you say God's purpose, or better still, God's desire, you're looking at God's design. Every manufacturer has a plan for his or our product. So God has a plan for our lives. And let me tell you what that plan is. That plan is not for you to be satisfied. Yeah, you will be satisfied, but that plan is for God to be pleased. It's for Him to be satisfied. So His design and purpose for our lives is that we please Him. Hallelujah. I see that? That's His purpose for our lives. And it's key to know that to please God or to walk in line with God's plan, you need to find out. You don't do it unconsciously. You actually have to do it consciously. Now, I wanted to say this before we start. This is for pastors and ministers, and I observed this. Someone asked me a question, and he said, now when he said it, I knew I was going to talk about it, because I want to talk about it, but when he said it, he didn't know it was God was using him to remind me. He said, sir, you're doing CBFC and UI. I said, yep. So he said, when are you going to OAU? And I smiled. And I knew, he asked that question, I'll remind myself of saying what I want to say now. Praise the Lord. Alright, so when he said, sir, I said, well, in Saints Community Church, we don't plan long term. Am I right? No. We just do what we know to do per time. I said, if we go to that place, we'll have the first meeting. The Lord says, don't have another one. Then we stop. We don't do glory meetings anymore. We do glory meetings. We had just one, right? And not anymore. Believer Summit, just one. He said, Believer Summit, July. Ah, we don't do it again. Because he wants, he fulfilled his purpose, and that was it. He said, if it's just one meeting, fine. Most of the time when we plan that way, because we don't know so much into the future, and because we are infinite, we're finite beings in the realm of life, we're quick to think that that we can't know too much at a time. So most of the time what we plan is usually the way we see things. That kind of story of my diary. Was in these sessions? You know the story very well. What's the color of diary? Huh? Red is for the blood of Jesus. So I just forgot the diary. And I let it go. We don't have such plans. How will you do this one? You know. Remember years back, CBFC is a, for instance, is a vision that came to my mind some 15 years ago. So imagine, we're holding the very first one 15 years after. And you want me to plan for next year? You're talking to the wrong man. Praise the Lord. Someone says, sir, you told us this gospel will be out. You ask those kind of questions because you've not been in this ministry long enough to know that just like God, a day with me, 1,000 years. The pastors don't ask me those questions because they know me. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, I had some folks say, well, I was telling some of you, we had some invitations to preach in Southern Africa and East Africa. And I said I was going to go. Now, I'm not talking about it again because I just don't feel led to do it. Yeah, that's how I am. Praise the Lord. So I'm quite a difficult person to follow. Isn't that true? Someone told me that in 1998. He said, I don't know how you do things. You just go and you come back, do like this. I said, well, that I don't know too. But one thing I'm sure is, I don't push my plans. Just let it go. So, you know, I remember years ago we had this urge to hold a meeting and be in the campus. I shared that story at the Workers Convention. Now, let me just say it again. So I told the folks who were together in ministry, then I said, I sense the Lord wants to send us to one campus in Nigeria. And interestingly, I had visited over 50 campuses and I had toured around the country. So I had some places where they jumped at us, well-organized conferences, right, Kulim, right? Well-organized conferences, good hotels. I flew there to buy my money. We had great. So those were places you would have thought, but I said, no. The way God walks, not necessarily the way I feel. So I told a friend of mine, he passes a large fellowship then, ministry, then we had a meeting with them, and they had a great time. So I told him, I said, Pastor, Lord's leading us to a place. And he said, well, no problem. He said, I'm going to set it up. He had the manpower, so he had the phone. He said, I'll set it up, I'll get you this and do. I said, no. Don't move too quickly. He said, what do you mean? I said, let's just allow God to set things up. He said, oh, you these Hagin boys, you're tired again. I said, let's just do what we want to do. And then I told the folks, that's just what God, how God's going to do it. And so we went for a meeting, and then we thought, I just had a natural, normal meeting, flow of the Holy Ghost, we taught the word. Then these two guys looking so confused, and they look like guys who just came out from a deliverance theater, and they came to me and said, sir, two of them, one of them is here now, and they were like Siamese twins, you know, one said, and they said, sir, we just need to flow with the Holy Ghost we want. And I said, this is the place. I told the guy, I said, this is the campus, we'll be here. Confused guys, didn't have the structure, nothing like that. I remember the very first time I preached in that campus, remember where took the place? You know, those are the kind of accommodation they give you, you pray all night. You can't sleep. The power in the name of Jesus. We couldn't have a bath there, remember? I said, Jesus is Lord. And then they had the guts to call us back again. I said, huh? He said, yes, we want you to come and bless us, sir. So I said, you know, you go ahead. Can we get somewhere else to stay? We will pay. I think we paid them. We will pay. And we had other places where they gave us a hotel. We had a place they gave us four cars, right? Four cars company. Where the ministry team guys that went and said, Pastor, I like this ministry. He said, they are receptive to the word. They put you in a hotel, they give you food, they are receptive to the word. I just see the way they receive the word. Hey, I break that day, and they now lined up the members, this lined up like this, and they were bringing gifts, suits. I wore that suit for 3 years. I think more than that. But it's suits, almost got married in it. suits, they gave me perfumes, money, wristwatches, shoes. They were just showing everything like more than Isaac. And I said, that's not the place. What other better place can you take? Can you do this ministry? Not that place. That's not the place. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Amen. Don't get scared. Don't say, so, that's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Just hang in there. Praise God. We follow God's plans and purposes. Amen. God wants us to do. But one thing I know, we will reach the nations of the world. Amen. How he wants us to, when, let's just follow him. Praise God. Are you still out there? Alright, so, you know, now I learned this. I was talking with a senior minister. He said this. It got me thinking. And I've always said it to our pastors too. He said, most denominations today, every time they put organization ahead of the leading of the Spirit, they become what we saw today. That got me thinking. That they always want to organize the move of God. And that always gets us into trouble. Remember Brother Hagin said to Gloria Copeland years ago, he said, know how God deals with you. I know how it deals with me. So you know how to deal with it, so that you will not follow what someone else is doing. So that will get too, you know, organized and do this and organize. And most of the time, and if you observe this, and this is not trying to be critical, but I think you understand what I'm going to say, that what we call the Pentecostal charismatic churches now are having a strong semblance to the most of those Orthodox churches that used to get criticized. Same thing. Same thing. Praise the Lord. Now we were on a school, Bible school. I pray and I ask the Lord, Lord, what exactly do you want us to do? It looks like a school and church, but what does he want us to do? What does he want us to do? Pardon me. Better still. So, following God's plan for your life, never, you can't have one encounter with God and you know everything. You have to walk with him for the rest of your life. You make discoveries as you walk with him. So, I think I shared it one day. You go to one prayer mountain, you say, I know when I leave this mountain, that's it. In 3 days, you're back, I've gotten it. No, you need to go every 3 days. You need to walk with God and find out what he wants you to do. So, learn to just, now I let me tell you this is my church, my local church, so I say this. I have been pressurized to release a book. And I know that. I told folks, I said, well, I like to release a book how God wants me to. You know, I'm not short of material. Definitely not. I had a fellow said, I've already put your teachings in a book form. I'm going to publish it and put your name, whether you like it or not. He passed us in Washington, D.C. He said, I'm going to put your name and publish it because I want you 3 years to release a book. And he's a senior pastor. Pastor D, help me. And said, no, don't tell me I listen to spirits. Don't listen to spirit now. I will release it, whether you like it or not. So he said, I'm going to change this teaching. Funny thing is, Christians say, I'm going to change the title. Hope you agree with it. I said, he said, the kicking out sacred cows. Do you like it? He's talking about what I wrote. So I had to call on a minister to help me beg him not to publish my book. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I think I'm a very slow person. Am I? Amen. I'm still young. Praise the Lord. You don't run a marathon with a speed of 100 meters. We're going a long time. Glory to God. Long time. Thanks be unto God. Alright, so don't let anybody box you up and organize your life quickly. You know? Learn to pray. Learn to pray. Learn to pray. Now, also something I learned, and I think I must talk about this. You know, we also have to follow God's plans in the meetings we hold. You know, people do prayer meetings. I saw a friend of mine, he wanted to hold a prayer meeting, so he said, we're going for a prayer retreat. I said, great. You know what he said? He said, the worship will be led by, I said, what are you talking about? I said, the word, and I saw the routine for the prayer retreat, I said, this is a joke. You know, we need to follow God's plans for our meetings. You know, we say camp meeting, Kai's camp meeting, in the mornings, listen now, in the mornings we teach about Christ, we teach about redemption, the finished work of Christ, in the evenings we flow with the Holy Ghost. Believer's convention, times to exhort people, to stir up believers, to walk in God's powers and plans, and to enjoy all the benefits they have in Christ. World Changers Conference, you know what that's for? Basically. You know what I mean? To pray, to be exhorted, to be corrected. So each meeting must stick to the purpose. If you have Sunday services, why are you having Sunday services? Someone told me, said, can I come to a Sunday service? I said, you can't sit in. Well, we have there's a plan for it. So there must be a plan. Are you still there? Forces Camp Meeting has a plan. You'll never find us discussing future career in Fortress Camp Meeting. Some people do, it's okay. But God didn't tell us to do that. A friend told me one time, his church member told him, he said, Pastor Sheikh, we saw your ministry in a secondary school. They were teaching, I think he said, safe sex, something like that. My friend said, huh? I didn't answer one word. She said, never. Pastor Shegu, what did you say? No. Word and spirit. I said, he has answered you. Academic seminar? No. Not fortress mission. Because there's a plan. You stick to that. Even when everybody leaves the church, you keep doing what you're doing. So sometimes we hold meetings. If it's a prayer meeting, make sure you pray. A prayer meeting starts with prayer, ends with prayer. Amen. It's a teaching meeting. Don't use 45 minutes to lead worship. And then 15 minutes to teach. And then another 30 minutes for worship, because during the offering you sing. After the announcement you sing. Does somebody have a special number you sing? Does somebody have a testimony you sing? Was it really a teaching meeting? No, it wasn't. You must stick to the plan. Praise the Lord. Are you still there? You must stick to the plan. You must stick to the purpose, and you must pursue it the right way. If you go for a crusade, an evangelistic crusade, you reach the lost, you heal the sick. That's the basic thing. I know people today, they organize crusades and they raise money. They raise money. Money, be careful for money. Be careful for money. Be careful for money. Now, it's easy to say this, to say, well, I'm not a pastor yet. No, no, no. Money can easily get you off track. Be careful for money. Imagine, when I started out preaching on the field, in 6 months, I visited 3 countries, I've been to about 10 states in Nigeria. I was yet to matriculate about that in the university. Imagine that. But I made a vow, and I said I wasn't going to take honorariums, because I knew it was going to do something. It's not going to take honorariums, but it's God. But I said I wasn't going to take. And then, here I am in 1994, I am giving 7,000 naira. You know what that was then? 20 years ago. 7K. 7,000 naira. In those days, I think university lecturers used to earn, I think, 10,000, 12,000, 20,000. I give you 7,000 naira for preaching one session. I said, oh, I just consecrated. Now, if they give me 500 naira after consecration, I said, no. I'm following God's plan for my life. But they gave me 7,000 naira. And I remember, I just told a cousin of mine, just gave me 50 naira to travel to and fro. And I have 7,000 naira. And I said, sir, you know, you saw a great gift of God, you say, and I'm looking at him. Now, he's thinking, I'm thinking, he's small. And I'm thinking, what not is thinking? I'm thinking something else that he's not thinking. I said, praise the Lord. I said, oh, it's okay. He said, no, no, sir, I know. He gave it to me. And the lady's there. I said, amen. Look at the man. You're going? I said, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you. I said, I'm giving it back to your ministry. They look at me. I said, no, please. Please. I said, no, sir. Please have it. I said, no. No. Hallelujah. And 2 months after, I'm preaching in an Orthodox church, and then a wife, they came and they gave me the key of a house. I'm preaching 4 years after, and I'm preaching at a crusade. We had over 200,000 healings and testimonies. And someone gave me a landed property. He said, see, she's not a Christian. Her daughter got healed, so she came with the documents of the house I'm giving to you. University. My room in school has a, let me tell you, so blessed. And I said, you're blessed. And I'd give it to the ministry again. I'm thinking, how long do you want to live like this? 7K house, a landed property on the island. And you're saying, you're consecrated. There's time and season for everything. The time to consecrate, the time to celebrate. What about that? Amen. Praise the Lord. So I make a deal now. If you call me to preach, if you give me an offering, I give you more. So I'm returning back to you. I usually pay my flight, you know. But if you give me so much that I don't have, I'll have to give you back. Praise the Lord. That's a decision. So, you know, you need to set your heart to where you're leading, you're going to. Are you there? And do that quickly. So, stick to the meetings. If your meeting is an evangelistic meeting, stick to it. If it's a prayer meeting, stick to it. If it's a teaching meeting, stick to it. Are you listening? Stick to the purpose. So, well, let's get people excited. No way. Let's pray. Hallelujah. So say, I was in your prayer meeting. Have you ever seen that can before? With your staff? With it? Amen. Ego. No. Singing in the process. Singing? In a prayer meeting? No, just sing to the Lord. Let us get one of you. You know, with a prayer and say, jumping. Because you want to jump to where? Out of God. So, you stick to the purpose and the plan. Praise the Lord. Not all things are God's design. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. But you know what that means. He was referring to redemption. So, you don't assume that things are happening because that's how God wants it. That's not true. You must find out what God wants Himself. What exactly does He want? There are things that happen and not in God's purpose and plan. For instance, Ephesians 2, 1 to 3 talks about those who are not saved. He says they operate differently. He says, according to the prince of the power they have, the spirit that now walks in the tree of disobedience. That means that people today will live consistently out of God's plan and purpose. Now watch this. That means if I listen to their counsel, just like Psalm 1 verse 1 says, I will not be walking in God's plan. What? And the believers as well, who Paul says, they act that led not men of the spirit. They are believers as well. Who get influenced by the world. They get influenced from the world. You know, I wrote something on Facebook. I said, the highest calling in life is not political, is not business, is not academical, and is academic, and is definitely not social. But the highest calling in life is to serve God in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I said, Jesus didn't come to this world to start a business empire. He didn't come to be a political leader. He didn't come to be an academic wizard. He came to serve and seek those that are lost to save them. I said, if you're going to be following Jesus, and that will be your highest calling in life. Someone says, sir, are you talking spiritually? I said, no, I'm talking generally. Not spiritually. Generally. I'm not talking spiritually, I'm talking generally. The highest calling. What should be highest calling of your life should never be political, academic, career, you know, a business. It should primarily be what Jesus came to do. He came to serve and save the lost. Is that clear, everybody? Is that clear? Good. So, see, there's some folks like that. 1 John 5:19 says, the whole world lies in the wicked one. So I cannot assume that because things are going like this in the world, and some of us were so worldly, worldliness is not wearing makeup. Worldliness is not wearing makeup. Worldliness is not doing a nice hairstyle. Worldliness is an attitude that makes sure that you conform yourself to the thinking in the world. That this is how people think. And that's exactly how you reason as well. Romans 12 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So worldliness is in the mind. The way you think, the way you reason, the way you see things. So I'll see you there. 1 John 2:19. Let's go there. I need to read that one. He says, 1 John 2:19. Sorry, 1 John 2:15, not 19. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, notice the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Sound there? Look at the Greek word for the word lust. The Greek word for the word lust, now look up here, and it simply means desire. A lust is an uncontrolled desire. That's what it is. Now, I want you to pay attention now. Listen well. A lust is an uncontrolled desire. Something that drives you. Now, look at how James also calls it. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desire. Notice that word, his own. His own. Now, I want you to, I love us to be thinking together this evening. I want to be on the same page. He says, each man is tempted of his own desire. His own desire. Are you listening? His own lust. So, primarily, lust will be situated in selfishness. Now, back up and think a little bit. What in this world is not motivated by self or desire? Virtually everything. You get married, your desire. The kind of man you want, your desire. You know, lady talked to fiance, and she said, you're never smiling ever since we got into this relationship. Why are you always, you know, your face always straight? He said, I thought you wanted a serious relationship. Alright now. So, you get married, your desire. You want 2 children, 4 children, 6 children, 9 children, all the children in the world, your desire. You're in the plan. I want to live in Hawaii. So you watch a movie, and you see Al Pacino. You say, you just see this nice island, and the guy's walking, swimming pool. He has bodyguards all decked up, and the guns. Say, wow, in Christ Jesus. So they are feeding your loss, right? So you want it. So you want it. So what are you feeling your job for? Education, lie. Sciences, lie. This encouragement of mine told me. He said, he called my name. He said, is there any school I can study, millionaire? I said, why? He said, this one is a millionaire. That was a millionaire. His dad, medical doctor, is not a millionaire. So I want the one millionaire. Here's what it's in it. So you're seeing lives. So you're motivated by what you want. And that's how this world is built. What we want. Building self, lust. Galatians 5:19 talks about the lust of the flesh. Same thing. That means selfishness. Lust of the flesh is built on selfishness. The walk in the spirit is built on non-selfishness. Love is non-selfish. Joy is non-selfish. Loyalty is non-selfish. Long-suffering is non-selfish. Are you still there? Patience is non-selfish. John is non-selfish. Meekness is non-selfish. So, it's built about unselfishness. What do I want? Is it wrong to want something? No. Not wrong to want something. But don't be led in life by what you want. That's the difference. Praise the Lord. Don't be led in life by what you want. Be led in life by what God wants. You know that because you want something doesn't make it of God. The very first desire man had in the Bible, apart from his wife, was to desire what God didn't want. He wanted to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God didn't stop him. God doesn't stop desires. And because your desires get met doesn't mean they're of God. So are you still there? Are you still there? So you check that. And so, you can, the world is built around it. Build around it. So the word lost, don't ever think the word lost is one crazy word. Every time we heard lost, it has to be a naked woman. No. Lost doesn't have to be fornication. No. Lost simply means, because lost includes lasciviousness, lost includes drunkenness, lost includes lack of self-control, lost includes bitterness, lost includes strife, right? Come on. Am I right? Somebody lost. Lost is not say, I'm battling lost. It's not saying, somebody is battling lost with women and men. Somebody is battling lost with anger. Somebody is battling lost with lying. Somebody exaggeration. Somebody bitterness. Somebody just division. Somebody just likes fighting everybody. He fought God today. Someone just, so loss is just what you want. And that's quite a difficult area, because it doesn't mean what you want is always evil. But you cannot be controlled by what you want. So I see that. So loss isn't only for men and women. It's lusting after her. She's lusting after him. Praise the Lord. Ah, lust is for things. Lust is for experiences. Lust, you know, it's a strong word. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. Paul says to Timothy, he says, the love of money, we checked that last week, is the root of all evil. He didn't say money is the root of all evil. He said the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after. Now, I want you to observe Paul's warnings to Timothy. Listen carefully. He first said, if you have anybody who is motivated by money, stay away from him. You know, there was a preacher of the gospel. I used to listen to him a lot. A whole lot. That's a whole lot. We used to exchange letters. Very prominent preacher of the gospel. We exchange letters. You know, nice, listen to his materials. I'll go out, I was university, then I'll go and buy tapes. He's not a Nigerian preacher, so don't think it's Pastor Chris. Amen. Thank you. Some guys, you know, they just say, oh, you know, some folks are saying crazy. How come last week Pastor led worship? Pastor Wale didn't come. This week Pastor led worship, Pastor Wale didn't come. What's going on in your mind? You're crazy. You are crazy. You know, try and do something. Try and be less unbelieving. It helps the Christianity generally. We have more of a spirit, amen, and less of flesh. So, I used to listen to him. But when he began to talk about money so much, one day I heard him say, the tree of life was tithe. The tree of knowledge of good was tithe. I remember Paul said, you stay off the man. So I stayed off. Because that's what Paul said. So he says, the love of money is the root of all evil, with some, alright, with some coveted after. Look at that word. So he explained the love to mean coveted after. That's the same word, lost, to go after. Alright, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, I tell folks, the richest man in the world is Bill Gates. I like Bill Gates, sincerely. From the bottom of my heart, in the middle of my heart, I like Bill Gates. I like his industry. I like the way he lives his life. In the kind of, and I saw him, did I tell you? He's doing an holiday. It's Bill Gates. And he goes with, he has two children. Bill Gates, richest man in the world. Some guys are salary $10,000 per month. They have eight children. And the best. Alright, so two children, Bill Gates, wife, two kids. They went for holiday. The yacht they got for holiday is $30 million a month, a week. $30 million. That's enough. Well, I tell someone, I said, you know, Bill Gates, a Christian can't emulate that. I said, you can be a Christian and then you have $60 billion in your account. You can't be a Christian and have $60 billion in your account. Or $70 billion. You never felt like that? Sir, what about just for the glory of God? How? How is having $70 billion in my account for the glory of God? Hey, wake up. The glory of who? Who do they call the richest man in the world? God? They call you. If it's the glory of God, they'll say, God, not you.
Is that simple sense?
So you must know your own motivation. That
should motivate you.
What should motivate you is that person who is in your church, who earns $5,000 a month and yet gives out of that and helps people. That should be your Christian example. Who has $10,000 and yet he or she serves the Lord. He's there praying, he's there, you know, doing evangelism, reaching the Lord and being an example of a believer. That should be your example. Are you there? Glory to God. So, lost. Yes. This is exactly what motivates the systems of this world. They live on it. I discovered that the system of this world lives by strife. People compete. They live by strife. Everybody's competing, competing, looking for money, looking for money. Hallelujah. Looking for money. And that's what the system was built upon. Your desire, your ambition, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? So say, you can be all you want to be. Huh? Don't try and say that to me. I have many things I want to be. You can be all you want to be. You mean it? Yeah. Go after your dream. Pursue what you have. Don't let anybody stop you. Your desire, acquire your desire, fire it, and make sure you aspire, and make sure you never retire. Hey, see what. Go for it! It's all I've committed after. They head from the faith. Because every venture in life has a cost. There'll be something that you're letting go. You know, sometimes to be very successful, the cost could be your family. Sometimes it could be your friends. Sometimes it could be your health. Sometimes, and most of the time, it's just God. So, be all you can be. You can be all you want to be. You can be all you want to be. That's not in the Word. Praise the Lord. You should be all God wants you to be. That's what you want. Praise the Lord. Are you still there? A Christian must know when to say no, correct? Know when to say no. No. Cool. So here we say, consecration is very key here. Consecration means the readiness to do God's will at each time, at each point in time. The readiness to do God's will at each point in time. Now let me say this quickly. There cannot be consecration when there are no options. You must have options. Jesus in Matthew 26:27, he says, let this cup pass over me. It meant the cup could pass over. It meant he didn't have to die. Like we studied, he chose to die. Matthew 26:39. He chose to die. That means he could have not died. So you can't have consecration when there is no option. There must be option. There must be an option. It's called consecration because there is an option to choose. There's something else you could have done. That's why it's called consecration. There are people today who are in the ministry because they had no job. I called a preacher, and he's a young preacher, just started ministry then. And I knew him before then because I've had time ministering to him. So he came to see me in my house, and I preached for him. And then he came with the offering. And he came with the offering. He brought the check. And I said, I don't want it. He said, why? I said, no, that's just my decision. I don't take offerings from people. That's why I went to work, so that I don't have to be born into church. All right. I said, Pope, as a second, you have started again. Everything about you is just crazy. I said, no, really. I just don't. I've been doing it for years before you got born again. So he says. So I said, where did you get the car from? He just started church. I said, listen, young man. Said ministry when you have a car.
That's a good story. I said, you guys, be careful. I said, if you were not a pastor, would you have gotten a car? You probably will be in the favor market. Is that what you call it? Favor market. Believing God and sowing seeds. Like you teaching them to. So be careful. Don't be in ministry because you have nothing to do. There's no consecration to that. You have nothing to do. There's nothing else to do. Some guys are committed in church because they have nothing to do. That's not consecration yet. Consecration is when you have an option. Some guys are so serious on campus. What else do you do but go for classes? Then in the evenings, you know, go out with a man or a woman. Go to the restaurant. And then we're talking about your dreams. Nothing so sweet about hearing other graduates talk about their dreams. I plan to go to, when I graduate, I will be in the U.S. I guess, I'm my uncle's an uncle I have. He founded the United Nations. He founded the United Nations. He also owns Air Corps. So he will give me two airplanes to fly over the world. So I'm just waiting to graduate now. I can't wait. Oh, great. By the time I'm 35, I should bought a house from him. Then they say, woo! Yeah. So you have nothing more to do in school. Then you finish your lectures, make sure you don't fail your exams. So you really have not much consecration. The only consecration is make sure you read your books. When you graduate, life comes back to you. And then some things that you thought, by the time I graduate, I work for Shell. Because your dad's a shareholder. I work for Shell. I move on to Total. When I finish in Total, I'm a wait a bit, then I can decide to be the vice president of America or something like that. That's not daydream, that's day nightmare. So, you know, you feel, there's not much. There's an option. When you come out, you have options. Then there's consecration. Should I do this? Should I do God's will? That's consecration. Not when there are no options. Some guys were committed in church before they got a job. They're very humble. They greet you from afar. You will see that, I've been greeting you since 5 times. They want to talk to you. They cry. Come down, no, sir. I know, sir. And they... So they're in church every time. Prayer meetings are there before everybody. And then there's this lovely appointment letter. 600,000 naira per week. That's like to be football, right? Per week. They come to church on a Wednesday service. They enter. The appointment letter is in their pocket. I say, good morning, Brother John. Good afternoon, Brother John. Good afternoon. I hope there's no problem because he's not bound. No problem. Just had to tell you I got a job. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, sir. Hallelujah, sir. I thank God for everything. You know, I've been through a lot. I know God will do it. I've been saying, Lord, I've been serving you all these days. You can't let me serve you in vain. So why was he serving? To get a job. So he picks up the job. Next morning, he goes in. You know my job. I told you my job. I'm busy. 6 weeks after, he attends full service towards the end. When is that? Say, he's now asking us, when is WCC? Is it not November? Is it December or January? Which one? We say no, it's December. I will make one day, at least the opening day or something. So why? You know, he never had consecration before. Now is an option. Are you listening? So when there is no option, you can't say consecration. There has to be an option. Praise the Lord. When there's only one girl that can say yes to you, there's no consecration to that. In Jesus' name. There's one person. Or one man. He said, there's no leading of the Spirit. There's no inward witness. You know, if you wait for another 1 week, you see the same person. Another 2 years, the same person.
So there's nothing to choose from. Praise the Lord. You are the chosen one. So when there is a choice, that's when consecration comes to play. We can't have a consecration when there is no choice. There has to be another choice or choices. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul rolled out things he should have done. And he said the things he will not do. They were options. 1 Corinthians 9, just read the whole chapter. He said, but I keep my body under. Verse 27, bring it to subjection. Lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. There must be option. In Acts 4, Peter said, we'd rather obey God than obey man. So, sometimes you need to see that. Sometimes in obeying God, you may have to disobey man. So, we'd rather obey God, Peter is saying this, than we obey man. Acts 5:29. We'd rather obey God than obey man. Rather obey God than obey man. It's consecration because what you're about to do doesn't please you. What you're about to do doesn't please you. So it's consecration. It doesn't please you. It only pleases the Lord. Paul said, we would have taken money. We would have married women. We would have done this. We would have done that. But we're not doing it. That's what consecration is. It's never a decision without an option. There must be an option that you're letting go. Are you still there? Alright. You know, remember Lot. Lot's case was funny. He came, he was with his uncle Abraham, and then there was a choice. And he just said, wow. He looked at the land flowing with milk and honey. You know, that's how most of us take our decisions. Flowing with milk and honey. Yeah. Uncle said, which one do you want? He had sent some guys to survey that there was oil deposits. They were lovely stuff. He said, are you sure, Uncle? He said, go ahead. He said, are you sure? Sorry. Are you sure? Are you really sure, Uncle? He said, I've prayed about it. He went there. He ought not to have taken any land because God didn't give him any. So opportunity is not the will of God all the time. He just took opportunity. Now, remember when he had his family and God said, notice these are symbolical things. He said, nobody should look back. In other words, there are things in your life, you don't go back to them. And the wife, she looked back. I'll explain that to you much more. It wasn't just like she just looked back, like she gazed, and there was more that she did than that. Because her heart was there. There are relationships, friendships, associations. Your heart ought not to be there anymore. But many of us, our heart is there. We're not in there, but our heart is there. And the Bible says she will turn to a pillar of salt. And Jesus told us in the four Gospels, remember Lot's wife. Now, what does that mean? Now, when she became salt, means she lost relevance. Symbolically, that's what it means. You just lose relevance. You are not useful again in God's kingdom. You look back, well, let me just see, let me just pick some things back in your mind. Listen, this. If you have answered the call of God into ministry, there's nothing you're looking for in your past. Is that correct? There's nothing to retrieve. Nothing to try to use. Notice we said last week, all divine purpose is defined in or by eternity. All divine purpose is tied to eternity. You know, when we got saved, and many of us too probably, we got born again to look at heaven. We believe we live our lives towards heaven. Now, yeah, we got some other things, you know, we got nowhere, how we need to be on earth, you know, we need to walk with the Lord, we need to use our authority as believers. But you know what? It's still true that everything we do must be because one day in heaven we're going to stand before Jesus. Is that true? That's it. So you ask yourself, where I stand before Jesus with this kind of life. I said, Jesus, I have four PhDs. Jesus, eight children, four husbands. Jesus, I was the best dressed doctor in the hospital. Jesus, to your glory. Jesus, you know, I bought four companies. And I was the chairman, managing director, chief executive of Nigeria, and general manager, one person. Jesus! I flew private jet. Jesus! And he said, where are they? Because Paul said, everything will be burned to ashes. You know, there's ashes and there's ashes. It will mean nothing. Praise God. It will mean nothing. In 1 Corinthians 3, he said some things are built with hay, some wood, some stubble, some gold, some silver. So everything will be tested by fire. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, he said, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, that's in vanities, in vanities. Are you there? In vain. 2 Timothy 4:7. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. Set before me is the crown of righteousness. You know. So these are supernatural, spiritual things. And so we can say quickly, you know, all of God's divine purpose is always linked with man. Man. Your purpose in life can never be outside serving God by serving man, by being a servant of God for humanity in the gospel of his son. It cannot be outside that. So your purpose is always tied to man. God's love and passion is for man, not things. I hope you know that. God's love and passion is not for things, it's for man. That's why the Bible says, what is man? That they are mindful of him. Psalm 8. Now, the son of man that you visit him, that mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. John 3:16. So, God's mind is about man. It's about man. So, if I will walk in God's purpose and plan and provision, I must walk in his plan for man. So you ask yourself this question, is it, who are the men I am living for? You know what that means, right? Thank you. So I guess if you're a woman, say, who are the men? Who are the men that I am living for? Who am I living for? Am I living for myself? You wake up in the morning, everything is about you. How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I do that? How do I do this? Sometimes even your kids and your husband is all about you. It's about you. Because it's about you. Your kids about you. You don't get as passionate about your kids doing well in school like your neighbor's kids, am I right? Your kids score 20 over 100 in school, your neighbor's kids score 40 over 100, you go whip your neighbor's kids. You say, huh? Are you crazy? Doesn't make sense. You take care of your kids. You may say, well, you may call your kid out and say, she had the best result in chemistry. You don't, your neighbor's kid, you don't go out. Say, what's it all? Say, everybody's my child. No way. So that shows you the family relationships are selfish, alright? They're selfish, alright? But God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to serve everybody. Praise the Lord. He gave up his own son so that all may be saved. So the truth is, Sometimes well, what, by the time I take care of my family, I'm doing the will of God. No. You take care of your family. You must take care of your family. But taking care of your family isn't your purpose in life. Praise God. Because that's your selfish. That's not about you. But take care of other people's families. Alright? Other people's kids. Alright? Nothing that has to do with you. And that's purpose. Because purpose and plan. Praise the Lord. Are you still there? Mm-hmm. So, Jesus said, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life, Matthew 20:28, as a ransom for many. So, we must get that in our minds, alright, that our purpose in life is tied to men. So ask yourself, who are the men that I'm living for? Who are the men that I'm living for? My prayer life. Now, you can, somebody, you can look quickly. If your prayer life is dominated by you, you're definitely living for yourself. It's about you. About you. Father, today I act. Father. You know, you can even pray for your family and say, Father, keep them for me. For you. Father, today, I walk in light. I walk in wisdom. It's still you. Oh, praise the
favor. You baptize me with favor. The lies are falling onto me. Hallelujah. In the present places. Yay, I have a good heritage. Thank you, Jesus. That's basically all you live for. So while we're praying, you say, what are you praying for yourself? So people say, let's pray for the move of the Spirit in Lagos. Say, what's the move of the Spirit? The door of all chairs will be open. Door open. Now, Benjamin. Amen. There are places in life God wants us to step into. I remember there's a brother in my former church. He was a nobody. God took him for a prayer to the palace. That brother today is going to say, brother, you are going to pray now. Say, ha! Baba! I'm not your feet. This foot, whatever. Fire! Anywhere I step today, I possess it. You just step on the high road, you possess it. Because you're a selfish person. How can you pray for? My dad asked me to pray. When you go out in the morning, because I used to go out in the morning, I'll pray, I'll come back. So one day, I'll lock the gates on about 2 a.m., so I'll come back by 6. So that day, he was beside the gate. So I just came, he said, where are you coming from? He said, what did you go out to do? I said, I went to pray. He said, because I was a teenager. So you're saying that many. He couldn't have part of it. He said, now tell me the truth. What are you praying about? He said, I'm praying for souls. He said, what do you know about souls? He's not a Christian. No. He said, what do you know about souls? He can't fathom it. That somebody will be praying for 2-3 hours for people. He's not praying about his problems, his life problems. Father, I need your husband. These little boys have been coming to me. They're not husband material. This one cannot even recharge my phone. Take your young brother in church. Buy me phone. He bought me UK used BlackBerry. Cop one, Lord, me. Lord, me, Cop one. A phone they were using before BlackBerry services started in Nigeria. Deliver me, O Lord! When last did you cry in prayer for people? When last? It's about yourself. So, if you are looking for purpose, purpose is about men. Who are you living for? Psalm 127, today's teaching. Praise the Lord. Amen. Where you go. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the city or keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. Hallelujah. Vain is about vanity. May we build into eternity. Say, may we build into eternity. That's why I tell people. There's a level you will get to. As a Christian, you no longer compete with people, but with purpose. You don't compete with anybody. You say, well, your friend, some of us like this, if your friend, a brand new car, maybe Mercedes Benz 2013-14 model, brings it to you, you say, what am I doing with my life? See my life. You are not yet. You don't understand who you are. Yet. Those kind of things that drive us crazy. You are not competing with purpose. That's not purpose. That's not it. Thieves buy brand new cars. Is that not true? Politicians. Ladies that give their bodies over to men. They buy it. But nobody, listen to me, Nobody can build into eternity with those kind of things. No. You don't compete. You don't get it off your mind. Off your mind. Praise the Lord. You know, I'll tell people, sometimes I'm facing a challenge. And I'm some of you are close to me, I'm battling some things. And yet I'm there. I'm ministering to life. So I say, how is it easy for you? I know my purpose. That's the point. I know what I derive pleasure in is to do the will of God. So forget those things. I don't compete with purpose, not with men. Not with men. See, ministry is not about preaching. It's not preaching. It's not just preaching. No. They labor in vain. Look at Paul. He said to Timothy, you're a young man. Whatever stage you are in life, there will be somebody. I always tell people, there will be somebody. In the University of Illinois years ago, this always brings memories to me. Where to have a prayer meeting, a vigil. I was the secretary of the intercessory group of Rema Campus Fellowship. So, we were to pray. So we had this, we used to call the head of the prayer group, Father Nash. So we were to pray. So there was one heavy rain. You know, in Lorraine, it hardly rains. You know, sometimes when it is cold, it's very cold. It began to rain very badly. So we said, let's call up the prayer meeting and let us go. So we pray tomorrow. I wasn't the one that called it off. I'm secretary, okay? So they called it off. As we were about to leave, they wheeled this guy inside. I mean, we call it Zion, the mini campus. I don't know where you love, Brother Lori. Brother Lori, anybody? Do you know the mini campus? You know the Zion? Okay, good. We're on an open field like this. They wheeled this guy there. And he was about to start to pray. And we, our legs are not just feet, they are fat. We were there and we're going. You know, your mind can say, it is problems that make him pray in the rain. You are a fool. I stayed though. I didn't go. Me, I'm not a foolish person. I stayed. I now sat down. I watched the guy. He prayed too. There are people in difficult circumstances. Not favorable, yet are serving the Lord. If you're a young man, there are people just like Timothy, young man. I was sharing with them a fortress. There was a lady, a girl, 12 years old. She had 5,000 pastors under her in China. 5,000. Yes, 12 years old. He's going to be doing makeup. Looking fine. Tell me, 12 years old, Jesus. You are competing with the first John 4:18 woman. You have had many boyfriends. 18-year-old girl, 4 boyfriends. By the time she's 28, what's she living for? Sir, don't you have a boyfriend? What are you doing? How old are you? I'm 22. You don't have a boyfriend. You are dry. What do you think? Why am I dry? You get to church, they are preaching, you are saying, is that person not a Christian? We are all Christians, Joe. It's by grace, not by works. He said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believer, possibly 4:12. You see a young person serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Serving the Lord. There was a young man I went for his meeting. 9 years old. Was 1995. 9 years old. And he had been in the ministry 2 years before then. 9 years old. How did he gets on the pulpit and he's preaching? His voice just changes. He just goes very quiet voice. And he's ministering the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I said, TJ, see our lives. We're teenagers. See our lives. 9. So where were you in 9? Said me, I was almost a Christian. Said me, I wasn't a Christian. 9. And he's saying, there's somebody out there. He's calling their names. He's laying hands on people. See, then the third brother of ours, we call him Bishop. He said, I hope this guy will not fish us out here. Say, emoji. Ah! Say, ah! I said, he will catch you down. He will collapse you. That nine over will collapse you down. But we left that place thinking, nine! And you are 19 or 29. Your back is bending. You are hearing the word. When they start to preach, you doze. You open your eyes in the middle. That's where everything you know is out of context. Your Christian life is out of context. If any man will lead the way in Christ, he's a new creature. Fast away is the last thing I'm going to quote from. Selah. You're a young man. There was Timothy in the Bible. The king called David was 17. He ruled the whole nation. They give you 5 lives in your house fellowship, or in your cell, or in your zone. You can't use these 5, sir. That's why I've lost all the sheep. In fact, I'm getting lost myself. Why? You spend your time watching Premiership. Spend your time, gist. Blackberry, you hold the Blackberry. Your hand is always like this. Smiley. I miss you too. You can't be useful. Are you listening? If you are aged, Peter called him, I, Peter, the aged. You are aged. Moses, how old was he? 80. 80 years old, my father-in-law. He, in his 70s, right now, but when he clocked 70, I remember I went to see him. So where is he? Daddy, early in the morning, he takes his tongue stroke. 2 hours, the man will pray in the Holy Ghost. Several hours. He's a member of Believers Love World. He will travel to all their meetings in Nigeria. Studies and prays. In the 70s, some reverse the figures. They are like this. 07. Or 07. You can't do that. Recognize purpose and live for it. Are you there? Yes, sir. Nothing should please you like your purpose in life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yes, nothing. Nothing should please you like your purpose in life. Moses was aged. Abraham was old. If it's your career, Paul, Timothy, Barnabas, they had careers. They had things they were doing. They were going to work in the mornings. In Acts 20, some historians I read after, they said in Acts 20, when Paul goes out in the mornings, when is it day and night? When he goes out in the mornings to work, they come back in the evening, then they do Bible study till very late in the night into the mornings. Everybody go back to their houses in the mornings, they go again to go and work. They come back in the evenings. And that was the man that wrote all the truths today we build Christianity upon. He was a professional. So you must choose. You must choose what to do. Oh, I'm married. I'm a woman. There was a woman called Priscilla in the Bible. She had a husband. She was not Reverend Mrs. She was a Reverend herself, Sailor. She was not the pastor, some people, the reason why we give you people is because you are pastor's wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when they are talking, you know this one. The Holy Ghost just visited and left. That's why most women, they're just even pulpit is to talk to married women. Give them a pulpit is marriage, children. It's biblical. But they let the older women instruct the younger women. But it can be more useful than that. Can do more than talking to just women and children. Can talk to the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is everything. Amen. Nobody is everything. Women and children, part of the body. So you can stop being a specialist. Relate with the whole body. I'm married. I have children. And I always say this, and I'm going to be very frank. When you see women, mothers, wives, who are committed to the ministry, it takes more consecration for them than men. That's the truth. it takes more than men. Because there are so many demands. Praise God. So don't waste your time. Are you there? Don't waste your time. There's no time to waste. What did I say? Discover your purpose. Find out who are the men that you live for. Who are the men? Don't be moved by your desire. What you want. Everything is what you want. No. What does God want? Are you there? Go to Acts 9 quickly. We said, just like Paul, you ask the relevant question. Lord, what must I do? What would you have me do? Acts 9:6 was a fundamental question. What would you have me do? What would you have me do? Many have never asked that question before. What would you have me do? Rather, all you tell the Lord is what you want to do. What would you have me do? What would you have me do? All of God's purposes are defined by service. It's never by you being served, but you serving others. And we said, the very first pillar or principle of purpose is place. Which place? Abraham had a place. And look at Lot. Lot again. How many of you know that Lot's location nearly got him into trouble? Let me see if you know that. His location nearly got him into trouble. If I did, at least he lost his wife. You can't afford to go to a location God doesn't want you there. God simply doesn't want you there. It's as simple as that. He doesn't want you there. Matthew 28 is going to all the world nations. Mark 16. Yet in Acts 16, Paul wants to go to Asia. God says, no, don't go. In Acts 13:2, said to the ministry wherewith I called them. So there are places where you can go. There are places you cannot go. Are you there? There are places you can go and there are places you cannot go. Look at Acts 18 quickly. Acts 18. Verse 10. Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not your peace, for I am with you, watch this, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. In what? This city. It's a place. This city. Acts 23:11. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must bear witness also at Rome. Places. There are places. Sometimes there are places per time. Places. So don't be in a hurry to relocate. Pack your bags. Run there. No. You must be led by the Spirit of God, not be led by your own desires and your own motivation. So number one thing is a place. Quickly, number two is possession. You must discover the abilities that God has placed in you. One of the things that deceive us mostly are our talents. Now, I grew up with some talents that I'm aware of. But you never allow your talents to lead you. That's quite dangerous. You must discover, listen now, your place in the body of Christ. And the first and primary way to do that is discover the abilities that God has placed in you. Romans 12:4. Quickly. Romans 12:4. Paul says, Romans 12:4. He says, for as we have many members in one body, and all men have not the same office. For we have many, we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Verse 6, that's where I'm going. Having then gifts differing according to the grace. Having then gifts. Differing according to the grace. So, your office and your giftings are one and the same. 1 Corinthians 12:27. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. You have the office and your giftings. When you discover your giftings and callings, then you have your responsibility in the body of Christ. Your giftings and your callings. Then you have your responsibility
in the body of Christ. What are the giftings? Gifts of God that is in you that came at salvation. It's not just anything. That's not what you used to do before you got born again. So I say, wow, this guy can sing. If God can just grab him, he will sing to the glory of God. Nonsense. What does that mean? What if he was a boxer? If God cannot grab him, he'll be boxing the devil. No, don't talk stupid things. You know, you discover the supernatural endowment God's given to you in Christ. In Acts 13:2, he says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. And they laid hands on them. And then they went forth by the Holy Ghost. Look at Timothy's case. In 1 Timothy 4:14, he said, neglect not the gift which is in thee, for seen thee by the putting on of my hands and given to thee by prophecy, laying on of the apostles, sorry, elders, and given to thee by prophecy. So, ask yourself, what are the discoveries you've made about yourself? You know, it's amazing to discover that when I was growing up, I wasn't a public speaker. I was the least person you could call to talk in public. I just couldn't talk in public. So, is this public? I think so. I just couldn't talk in public. But I could write. I could write and make you look crazy. I could read. I mean, read books. And I could write and I could sing. Imagine, sing, but I can't talk in public. But I could write. I could have one person, we got one, I'm good. But that's definitely not God's purpose for my life. So you need to find out. Don't let your talents lead you. So I'm a driver, I'll drive the devil out of town. No. You find the supernatural endowments you have of God. The gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit. You find them in offices of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You have them in the apostle, prophet, teachers, workers of miracles, amen, gifts of healings. Are you still there? Are you still there? Tongues, traditional tongues, you know, diversity of gifts. Was Romans 12:4 to Romans 12:8. You see those gifts in them, you find out. So don't be fooled by your natural talents. Moses started out as a hit killer. He got the Egyptians quickly dead. He did that quickly. He found him with the Jews. He took out the Egyptians, and then he was rejected by the people. He went back to the desert, and he's there for 40 years. 40 years, and after 40 years, and God calls him, and he said, no, I don't want to do the ministry. I don't want, and God said, you're going to go. So he goes, and look at what God uses in Moses. Something insignificant, something that wasn't necessary, something that just wouldn't appeal to you, a rod. Something he would have chosen, a rod. And many times we allow our natural talents, our natural, those things we like to do. Moses wasn't trained a shepherd until he left Egypt. So sometimes we just want to allow God, let's allow God to build us. And don't just be there trying to build yourself, just like Paul. Natural talents become useful when I have discovered purpose. I will only use my natural talents in line with my supernatural abilities. You hear that? You hear that? In line with my supernatural abilities. Then I'll use my natural talents. So I must discover the giftings I have, the things, the workings of the Holy Ghost in my life. The workings of the Holy Ghost in my life. I discover them. And when I do that, I am discovering God's purpose for my life. Let me give you some practical things quickly. How did Paul discover his giftings? Watch this. Paul discovered his giftings among gifted people. Among prophets and teachers. Acts 13. He couldn't have discovered it among very good tent makers. Very good lawyers. Very good doctors. Nope. There's a right company that will allow you. I'm grateful to God for the kind of company that I kept early in life. Now it drove me to see things
I couldn't see. I believed, for instance, that when I started in the ministry, I believed I was basically an evangelist. And I used to preach up a storm. I used to preach and stand on the chair. I used to preach and throw up the chair. You don't believe that, do you? I used to scream and I'll quote and I used to do this. But as I walked with certain friends, and then one of them really used to make fun of me. He said, "You quote the Bible," and I saw the Bible, he said sometimes the Bible is surprised at how you're quoting it. And I'm thinking, "You're crazy." He said, "I'm just quoting out of context." Then he should explain, and I'm feeling, "No, Bishop, I don't like to explain. I just like to, you know, get the flow of the Holy Ghost." So he got me to study. You know what? Just years later, I now became the one who was teaching and he was listening. Why? Because I got the right company. Now imagine if all you were doing was with some folks, you know, they're just good Christians, you go to church, they're nice folks, but their lives don't necessarily want to serve the Lord. You can't find yourself serving the Lord that kind of company. You must be around the right people that can allow the giftings that you have to come to the fore. Timothy found out his own among elders. Not elders of his family, elders of the church. Praise the Lord. Not elders of his family. There are some times, let me say this quickly. There are some times you will need to separate from some people, sometimes a family, not to leave the home, not to fight your family. Sometimes you keep their influence away and, you know, just to be able to discover the giftings that God has placed in your life. He had to stay with the elders. He was a young man. That's Timothy. Number three, you find people like Philip and Stephen. Same thing in Acts 6. Watch this. You'll find out spiritual things among spiritual people. You cannot find spiritual things among carnal people. You can only find spiritual things among spiritual people. You can't find spiritual things among carnal people. You can only find spiritual things among spiritual people. Acts 16, quickly, I'll close here. You find out that, where's the microphone? Okay. Timothy, for instance, in Acts 16, Timothy, for instance, he was a fellow in the church, and that's at Derbe and Lystra. So there was a certain disciple, a student of the word, whose name was Timotheus. He was a guy who had a good report among people. They said, well, verse 2, Acts 16, 2, about him. But it was, he's growing in the Lord. As he's growing in the Lord, he finds out his giftings, his place in the body of Christ, as he's growing in the Lord. You cannot, listen now, you cannot find our purpose and start to grow. No, you find our purpose when you're growing. As you're growing in the Lord, studying the Word, hearing the Word, being committed to the Word of God, then that leads you to discover God's purpose and plan for your life. Ephesians chapter 4:11 gives some apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the walk of the ministry. So that means if I'm pursuing spiritual growth, definitely I am pursuing purpose. If I'm pursuing spiritual growth, definitely I am pursuing purpose. And there cannot be spiritual growth without ministry. Ministry is an evidence of spiritual growth. So, you can't discover spiritual things among carnal people. You can only discover spiritual things among spiritual people. Go to the right meetings. To the right meetings. 995, I was in the conference. You know, you go to the right meetings. The right meetings. 994, 95. AM, I used to go from Ibadan, Lagos to Ibadan, to attend a series of meetings at Rema Chapel then, taught by Reverend Victor Adeyemi then. So he taught the meetings, he taught on the anointing, then he taught on the gifts and callings. I went every day. He taught him for about 9-10 months, and I went every day, every Wednesday. So I'm there, and he gives a call. Said, if you believe God's called you to teach, then you come out. He became an act. I wasn't convinced anyway. I just told myself, I'm a preacher. I just preach. So he said, hey, you guy in black. I wore black. Remember a black silk shirt, a black trousers? And then he said, you come. So he left everybody. He laid hands on each says, he prophesied. He said, the gift to teach is stirred up in you from today. He said, you will teach
the nations, you teach the body of Christ.
I was shocked.
I'm teaching today. I was in the right place. If that day I went for a friend's birthday party, all would have happened to me. If that day I had to go and watch a game, I would have missed an appointment. You may never know whether that can happen again. So you need to take spiritual things much more seriously. Spiritual things include meetings, church services, prayer meetings, the right kind of friends, where you read the word, where you hear the word. Take them more seriously. They walk in line with God's purpose and plan for your life. Something that is called about us, and I'll close, is that it is some little issues, little things that really matter. Things that we take for granted. Our prayer lives, our study of the word, church services, we take them for granted. And those are the areas that matter a lot. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, you can only discover spiritual things among spiritual people. You can't discover spiritual things among carnal people. Is that clear? Is that clear? So the place, then your possession. What do you have? What you have tells you who you are. And in that journey of discovery, the more you discover what you have, the more you discover who you are. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, divine purposes are always tied to men. Who are the men you are living for? God doesn't enable you for yourself. He enables you for others. Like we say the word anoint. He anoints for others. He doesn't anoint for himself. He anoints for others. So he enables us in the New Testament for others, not for ourselves. So how eternal are the things you are pursuing today? Are you living by desire or are you living by design? Amen. Let's pray.